Welcome to the Sagebrush Trail. Stories of the West, from the frontier to the Yukon. I'm Mardell, reading Crossing the Plains, Days of 57 by William Audley Maxwell. Chapter 13, Into the Settlements. Having begun the ascent of the lofty and precipitous east slope of the Sierra Nevada Mountains, one night about the 1st of September, the campsite selected was at a spot said to be directly on the boundary line between Nevada and California. Lounging after supper about a huge bonfire of balsam pine, the travelers debated the question whether we were really at last within the limits of the Mecca toward which we had journeyed so patiently throughout the summer. While so engaged, the stillness, therefore disturbed only by the murmur of our voices and occasional popping of the burning logs, was further dispelled for a few seconds by the sounds as of shifting pebbles on the adjacent banks, accompanied by rustling of the foliage, waving of tall branches and treetops, and a gentle oscillation of the ground on which we rested. These manifestations were new to our experience, but we had heard and read enough about the Western country to hazard a guess as to the significance of the disturbance. Jack, aroused from his first early slumber of that particular evening, raised himself on an elbow and asserted confidently, "That settles it. We are in California. That was an earthquake." Appearing already to have caught the universal feeling of Western people regarding the matter of quakes, he chuckled in contemplation of his own perspicacity and calmly resumed his recumbent attitude and his nap. The summit of the Sierras was reached within about 2 days from the commencement of the ascent. We met no people in these mountains until we had proceeded some distance down the westerly slope and reached a mining camp near a small gushing stream that poured itself over and between rocks and a tortuous gorge. The camp was a small cluster of rough shacks built of logs, split boards, and shakes. As if dropped there by accident, they were located without any regard for any sort of uniformity. These were the bunk cabins of the miners, some of the diminutive structures being only of size sufficient to accommodate a cot, a camp stool, and a wash basin. A larger cabin stood at about the center of the group, the joint kitchen and dining room. As we drove into the town, the only person within view was a Chinaman standing at the door. For most of us, this was the first introduction to one of the yellow race. He was evidently the camp cook. Major Crudson approached the Celestial with a salutation. "Hello, John." "Belly good," was the reply, having already heard it said that the invariable result of an untutored Chinaman's effort to pronounce any word containing an R produced the sound of L instead, we thought very little of that error and the attempt of this one to say very, but believed that his substitution for the initial letter of that word was inexcusable. "What's the name of this place?" continued Crudson. "Mellican man dig gold. Yes, I know that, but this town, what do you call it?" "Yuba Dam," the Chinaman answered. This response was intended to be civil. Nearby, the Yuba River was spanned by a dam for mining purposes, known as Yuba Dam, which gave the mining camp its name. Further on, we came to the first house that we saw in California, and it was the first real house within our view since the few primitive structures at Nebraska City on the west shore of the Missouri River faded from our sight the preceding spring. During a period of about 4 months, our company had traveled thousands of miles through varying wilds, in all of which not one habitation, in form common to civilization, had been encountered. Seldom has civilized man journeyed a greater distance elsewhere, even in darkest Africa, without passing the conventional domicile of some member of his own race. Long ago, such an experience became impossible in the United States. This house was a small wayside inn situated where a miner's trail crossed the emigrant route. A roughly made two-story frame building with a corral adjoining at which mule pack trains stopped overnight when carrying supplies from Sacramento and Marysville for miners working the gold placer diggings along the American and Yuba rivers. We camped beside the little hotel, and the next morning were for the first time permitted to enjoy a sample of the proverbially generous California hospitality when the landlord invited our entire company into his hostelry for breakfast. Our entrance into California was in Nevada County, thence through Placer, Sacramento, Solano, and Napa, and into Sonoma. Over the last 100 miles, we saw evidence that the valleys, great and small, were rapidly filling with settlers. The last stream forded was the Russian River, flowing southwesterly through Alexander Valley to the sea. Having crossed to the western shore, our motley throng found itself in the settlement embracing the village of Healdsburg, an aggregation of perhaps a dozen or 20 houses. There our worn and weather-stained troop made its final halt, and the jaded oxen on whose endurance and patient service so much, even our lives, had depended, were unyoked the last time on September 17th, just 4 months after the departure from the Missouri River. Considering all the circumstances of the journey, through 2,000 miles of diversified wilderness, during which we rested each night in a different spot, it seems providential that on every occasion, when the time came for making camp, a supply of water and fuel was obtainable. Without these essentials, there would have been much additional suffering. Sometimes the supply was limited or inferior, sometimes both, especially during those trying times in the westerly portion of the Humboldt region. But we were never without potable water nor fire, at least for the preparation of our evening meal. Nature had prepared the country for this great overland exodus from the populous east, a most important factor in the upbuilding of the rich Western Empire, theretofore so little known, but whose development of resources and accession of inhabitants have since been the world's greatest marvel for more than 50 years. As I look back through the lapse of nearly 60 years upon that toilsome and perilous journey, notwithstanding its numerous harrowing events, memory presents it to me as an itinerary of almost continuous excitement and wholesome enjoyment, a panorama that never grows stale, many of the incidents standing out to view on recollection's landscape as clear and sharp as the things of yesterday. That which was worse seems to have softened and lapsed into the half-forgotten, while the good and happy features have grown brighter and better with the passing of the years. Whether pioneers in the most technical sense, we were early Californians who learned full well what was meant by crossing the plains. Join me next season for a new exciting adventure in The Winds of Chance by Rex Beach, here on the Sagebrush Trail.